All right, we're going to get started this morning. Cody, would you stand up and open us up, please, and pray for me. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Bob and the word that he's took the time to prepare, Lord, and the word that you've laid on his heart. And Father, we thank you for the food that was prepared, Lord God, by the kitchen crew. And we just ask you that you bless this word, Father God, that you bless everyone here, Lord, and that you prepare our hearts to receive it, Lord God, and apply it to our life and not just hear empty words, Father. We thank you for the service after, Lord, and we ask you that you bless the service as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, one more thing, Cody, if you would, please. One more assignment.
Yeah.
Would you hand these out? Good morning, everyone. Got a little handout coming here. I believe it was set up where you can take a little bit of notes on it if you so desire. Do I sound all right back there? Okay. All right. It's just my hearing today. Oh, can't see either. Hold on. Can't hear or see. Let me change glasses. Thank you. Thank you. That way you can ask more questions, Sarge. That's why I do it. All right, let's get started as he hands those out. The name of today's class is going to be, it's actually going to be a two-parter. I'll be here this week and next week with this. It's called God's Armor Bearer. I'm using this book, not completely, but as a reference. This is an excellent book. Eddie, I think you recognize this. Pastor John gave this to the people in his home meeting. I think Eddie and I are the only ones still alive or not in jail from that home meeting. So, back in, what, 88 or something? So it's been a long time. But it's a very, very good book. And you see, I've kept it. And I pulled it out. I hadn't read it in a while. And God really sparked me. This is something that we need to talk about. And that is being an armor bearer. What that means. We may have heard it. It's not spoke of in the Word a lot. It's only used 18 times, and all of them are in the Old Testament. But an armor bearer, let's take a look at what an armor bearer is. It's made up, armor bearer is two words, and it's made up of two Hebrew words. The first part is nasa, which means to lift, to accept, to advance, to bear up, to carry away, to cast, to rise, to furnish, to desire, to further, to give, to help, to regard, to respect, and to yield to. That's the first part of the word. And the second part is kili or kela, which means to end, to consume, to destroy, to be done with, to finish off, to wholly reap, or to make or get riddance of. So if we kind of tie those two together, what we can glean out of this is that the duty of an armor bearer is to stand beside his leader, to assist him, to lift him up, and to protect him against any enemy that might attack him. I guarantee you, all Christians are attacked, leadership even more. Same way as in a war, in a battle. They always try and shoot the generals and the higher ranking, right? That's just the way it goes. Sergeant, I remember in Vietnam, nobody wore insignias. You know, some of those officers worked a long time to get those gold bars and eagles and stuff, but they didn't show it out there because they know they'd be the first one to shot, right, Sarge? So that's always been the ploy of the enemy. So we're going to take a look at what an armor bearer is. Now, ladies, this isn't only for men. Because as we're going to see, as we've come into the new covenant, this is under the old covenant of what an armor bearer is. Now, it hasn't changed, right? Old covenant's still in effect as far as laws and so forth and attitudes. They've just, instead of becoming written laws, they're now things that are written on our hearts, attitudes and things that we're supposed to do and have. And women can have this just as much as a man, and we're going to, you'll see what I'm talking about as we go on a little bit here. I'm going to read you a story, Fred's favorite story. They're all Fred's. Every story I ever said, Fred comes up and tells me it's his favorite. So, but you know, I believe him. We're going to, if everybody will turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1. We're going to start reading this, and then I'm going to skip a couple parts, but just follow along with me. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he did not tell his father. Let's skip down to verse 6. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few." "Do all that you have in mind," his armor bearer said. "Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul." Jonathan said, "Come on then. We will cross over toward them and let them see us. If they say to us, 'Wait there until we come to you,' we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, 'Come up to us,' we will climb up, because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands." So he's not just haphazardly doing this. He had got a word from God that there was going to be a sign if this was the right time and the right thing to do. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. "Look," said the Philistines, "the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes that they were hiding in." The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, "Come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson." So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Climb up after me. The Lord has given them into our hands," the hand of Israel. Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet, with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed all those behind him. Now that is a great story, and we're going to refer back to it as we go further. But remember that story. This is what a true armor bearer is. It's a perfect example. And we'll see a lot of the attributes that we need today in this young armor. It doesn't name the guy, does it? Who is he? We don't know. Does it make a difference? No. Yes. Very similar. Yeah, you're right. Very similar. Also, in medieval times, it's something similar to what a squire might have been, right? One more look at a couple other references to armor bearers. 1 Samuel 31:4. Saul said to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and run me through and abuse me." But his armor bearer was terrified and would not do it. So Saul took his own sword and fell on it. Why do you think he was afraid? If you remember the word, even David was afraid to kill Saul, correct, Eddie? That's Eddie's personal hero, right? Because he would be, it was a sin. He would have sinned if he had killed the king. But yet the king asked him to do it. So that made the king have to take his own life, which was a sin too. Was this guy a good armor bearer? Hold on before you answer that. Here's another description or a story of an armor bearer. Judges 9, 52 through 54. Abimelech went to the tower and attacked it. But as he approached the entrance to the tower to set it on fire, a woman dropped an upper millstone on his head and cracked his skull. Hurriedly, he came to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and kill me so that they can't say a woman killed him." Abimelech was a king at the time too, right? So his servant ran him through and he died. The servant took the sin, right? And saved face for his master and king. One wouldn't kill his king. One killed his king. Quite funnily, who would we say was the right one? The last one, of course. You want a person that would follow you, like Sarge knows. You follow orders without questioning them, because there is not time in a battle to stop and discuss it. Well, excuse me, Sarge, let's discuss these orders. You want me to do what now? Can I get that in writing? No. You have to, whoa, do it. You don't think about it. You do it, right? You stop, you're going to die. Blind obedience. Yep. And to a point, that's what an armor bearer is. Not blind, but using the sight of the person that he's serving. The first thing we need if we're going to be an armor bearer, well, let's go back a little bit. I'll step back here a second. We've heard of a lot of good things, stories and preachings on armor bearers. Eddie does a great one. He's done it several times, right? Very, very good. But this, what it is really, is an analogy. What it's talking about in the New Testament and what we're going to be talking about today is not a physical battle. If you remember, we're in a spiritual battle, and we have to remember that. Jesus often talked about plowing and vineyards and stuff. This reference to the armor bearer is the same sort of thing that it is a reference. It's quite obvious we don't get up and put on a helmet and a shield every day, do we, Ed? Physically. But there, prayer is in the spiritual, right? Absolutely. And that's what we're talking about here. God wanted to explain it to a way that people could understand spiritual things that they can't understand, right? Can we really understand faith? Is it something we can touch? Has anybody ever held faith in their hands, smelled it? No. So God is relating it back to something we would understand, which was armor, which is considered protection, right? And that's what this is. It's a spiritual protection. It talks about putting on Ephesians 6, isn't it, Eddie? Putting on the full armor of God. So the armor was important. And we will talk in a couple of weeks more about how the armor works today. It's going to be hard to follow Eddie's teachings on that, but really easy because I stole it. But now we're going to take a look at what armor is and what the original thought of an armor and an armor bearer is. Armor was important. And someone that was an armor bearer, the king or the warrior, the leader, whoever, was trusting his life almost to the man that took care of his armor, right? What if your sword wasn't sharp? What if there was a strap not sewn right or corrected right on your helmet? If your helmet wasn't adjusted perfectly and that sort of thing when you went into battle, right? So an armor bearer is a very important job. And still today, it's a very important job. We still have a place for armor bearers today. But in a different light. Let me read one more verse here for Eddie. Samuel 16:21. David came to Saul and entered his service. There, in other words, he went up and said, Saul, here I am to serve you. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. So he put a lot of trust in him. Knowing that if Saul died, who would be king, Eddie? So he was trusting him, even though David had some motive to let Saul get killed. But he knew his heart. He trusted him. He was trusting his life to this man. And it's almost the same thing today. If you want to be an armor bearer, yes, Dwayne.
Why would Jonathan be the king if he was the son of Saul?
Oh, I'm sorry. Give him the microphone. No, it was...
Why wouldn't...
You're right. I'm sorry. No, you're absolutely right. He was a prince. He was a son of the king. You're right. I'm sorry. Yes, Jonathan was at the time. But he was heir to the throne and going to be king, too. I said king. You're right. I was mistaken. At the time, he was a prince, but he was the heir to the throne. Which the same way, if you're serving his son, you're serving him. It's basically the king. Like if you do something for Pastor John's family, you're really doing it for him, right? Same way with us, correct? But you're absolutely right.
So Jonathan was there to the king? Jonathan or David?
He was going to be.
Oh, yes. David had the prophecy.
Now we're talking about David, yes. Yes.
So David has prophesied, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
He was the one technically in line to become king. But David is the one that God placed there, right? But I'm glad you caught that. I did say king. You're right. He was not king. But still, in his eyes, he was in that role and going to be taking that role on as far as he knew. Let's go back to, but thank you. Sarge, you should have caught that. All right. Saul liked him very much. We're back to 1 Samuel 16:21. Saul liked him very much, and David became one of his armor bearers. Like we said, he put his trust in him. The second word I ever got as a Christian, well, probably the first word, because the first word was from the Lord, which said, come. That was before I was saved, but after that, answering that word, I was saved. So actually, the next word, probably the first word that I got, and it wasn't too much past that, that I asked the Lord, well, what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do, right? And he told me, serve John Russell. He wasn't pastor then. He wasn't even an elder. I think he had just barely made deacon when I first come to the church. I don't believe they were even deacons yet, were they, Eddie? I think they were sit in. Barely. Barely. I'm saying as far as a line of authority, he was just someone in the church, but he was our home group leader, right? And that's where God told me to serve, right? It doesn't have to be, everybody here doesn't serve. And that's exactly the point I was making. Thank you, Eddie, that we don't all have to serve the pastor. There's a leader or somebody in your life, right, that's over you in ministry or something. The best way for you to get ahead is to serve them. Because that was the first question I asked. I said, well, God, you called me. Now all you want me to do is serve some other guy? What about me? What have you called me for? Don't you have ambitions for me? Aren't I going to do something? Or, you know, I'm just supposed to follow this guy around and be in service to him? Because first of all, I didn't even know what an armor bearer meant. I didn't even know what to be in service meant at the time. I had no idea. But I knew it was from God, so it can't be wrong. So I simply went to Pastor John and told him the word, and I said, what can I do for you? Right? That was it. What can I do for you? And that hasn't changed to this day. But God did tell me one thing when I asked that, what about my dreams? What about my ambitions? That sort of thing. Aren't you going to use me for something? You know, I'm just going to follow him around all day carrying his Bible and polishing his shoes or what? God told me to give all my dreams and ambitions over to him and do what he asks, and he would take care of my life. And believe me, and we'll talk a little more about this later down the line, he has more than did that in my life. You have to have the right spirit to be an armor bearer. Not just everybody can do that, really. Just because you come to somebody and say, how can I help you? You can help them. But we're talking about a different level of help here. We're talking about someone that's called to be an armor bearer for someone, no matter who they are. Your home group leaders, your elders, someone in Sunday school that's over you, the head of your Sunday school group, be their helper, be their armor bearer. We live in a world where it's considered stupid to lay your life down to help another. Right? That is stupid. Get what you can get. Run over the little people to get what you deserve, right? That is not a an idea that resonates in our society, is it? You know, many people, when they come to join a church, ask that church or judge which church they go to, but why, what that church can do for them. You know, before I come here, I'm going to look around and see what this church can do for me. Is that the right attitude? If you're first starting off, you might not know any better. But soon you should know that you aren't put here to have other people wait on you, right? Except for Fred and Esther, that's her job. They wait on everybody. This church isn't here to meet all your needs. It's a two-way street. If you're called to be a part of a church, you are called to help there, to be a part of that. What was that? John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Just put church in there and I'll buy it. Right? And how can you help the church? Can you pick up this building and carry it? What we're talking about is people in the church. The church is made up of people, right? And what we're talking about is people need help. This church can stand on its own. It stood here for a lot of years. A little wind isn't going to blow it down. It's usually easy to be submitted to Christ, stand up and say, yeah, I'm submitted to Jesus. Yes, I'm going to do whatever he asks. But it's hard to be submitted to another person. It's not as easy as being submitted to Christ. Yes, Dwayne, microphone man. See, I got some young legs today.
I'm just curious. Can you be like, is an armor bearer kind of like serving your mom or your family? Is serving?
To a point, but this is a little bit different. We're talking about a spiritual thing here within the church.
Oh, in the church.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You're supposed to honor your mother and father. All of us are supposed to do that. But to be called to be an armor bearer to serve someone in the ministry is a little bit different.
Okay.
But they have a lot of similarities, though.
Yeah, serving someone is the kind of,
yes.
Protect them too, I know.
Absolutely. So there is some similarities, but it's a little bit different. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now remember. Yes.
Can I share?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Also, too, within us and whatever position God has us in, whether you're, you know, whatever you are, just a comer. Like I remember when I first started coming, God sees our heart. And he sees what we want and how we want to change or whatever wants to do. Mm-hmm. He puts it in our heart. When he gives us a task, within that task or position, he also changes you within that role. He changes a lot within ourselves. And I kind of like that because I know what it was like when we first started doing our ministry. To where we're at now, it's a totally different view and honor and respect for that, for where God has placed us. So I like that. I like the idea of people think, you know, I have to let this go before I can get into church and do whatever God wants me to. But really, you come into church and the obedience of being here and learning and all that. Then, you know, we grow and change to what God wants us to be.
Absolutely. She just stole half my message. But no, what she said is absolutely the truth, and we're going to expound just on that. That was perfect. Thank you. Remember, Jesus come to what? Be submitted to the whole world, didn't he? To everyone. He died. Who did he die for? Everyone. Right? Who can't accept him? No one. So he came to be a servant to everyone. But yet sometimes we find it hard to be a servant to one person. I read there was a good quote in here. It said, we can never flow in the anointing of Elijah until we learn to serve Elijah. If you can't serve, God can't use you as a leader, right? All good leaders are good servants. All leaders, like we've seen the centurions, all knew a line of authority. I don't care how high up you are, how many people you have under you. There's somebody over you, right? So I thought today that we would take a look, or the next couple weeks, that we would take a look at some of the attributes. It's on the handout here. I hadn't seen this. She just did it for me. Let me take a fast. Oh, that's beautiful. I wish. Quite obviously, I don't have the gift of typing and doing that. I don't even have the gift of writing, so. There's a few places there for notes, but what we're going to take a look at is 11 different attributes that you need to have to be an armor bearer. And we should all be called to be an armor bearer at one time or another to someone, right? You want to raise up, raise somebody else up. Hold somebody. You want to be held up, hold up somebody else. Remember, the pose of a Christian should be like this for everything. We're getting help, we're giving help. We're learning, we're giving out in all aspects. All right, first thing. Must provide strength for your leader. Just because a leader is a leader doesn't mean that they don't have problems. I often use Pastor Don. He's not here, so I'm using you, Pastor, as an example. He's always coming in here smiling, happy. You would think he does not have a care in the world to look at him. But you know, he does. Those that know him, he has as much trials, probably more than most of us, because Satan's always after him, right? So there are times they need someone in their life to be strength, to fall back on. Because there's times that they can't show weakness, right? What good would be a pastor if Pastor Don came in and said, I just can't, too much going on in my life. I can't do anything today and go home. He can't do that, can he? He won't do that. Neither will Pastor John. That's not going to happen. But behind the scenes, they need someone to talk to. They have other pastors, but they need to have people within the congregation that they know that have their back. That if there is a weak moment, they're there to say, don't worry. You must always show that you expect him to be victorious to the end. Yeah, Pastor, I know the church is going through a bit of a hard spot, but you know we're called here. You know this is where God planted us. You know these people are here because God sent them. In the end, we're going to have victory. You're going to have victory, right? They need to hear that sometimes, no matter who the leader is. They do get leaders, just like everyone else, are human. They get drained, both spiritually and physically. Right? If every time somebody comes to you for help, you send them to the pastor, what's going to happen? They ain't going to help you. You're draining the pastor that's there to help you. Right? We have to step in wherever we can and make sure they don't get drained, both physically and spiritually. And two, provide strength for your leader was what I said this one was. You must have an attitude like Pastor Don's walking around all the time. That everything ain't going perfect, but I'm walking in faith, love, peace, and joy. I have a joy because I know this is where God sent me. Is everything perfect? Everything wasn't perfect before I got saved. That's why I come here, right? We all got saved not because our lives were perfect, did we? Our lives are 100 million times better than they were before we were saved. But sometimes we just let the little things get us down. If you want to be an armor bearer, you can't do that. How can you help your pastor and leader if all day long they're helping you? Not that we don't need help, and there's going to be times, but there are times that we need to stand up and be strong. If you want to be an armor bearer, that's one of the attributes that you have to have. You must be able to provide strength, and that means having strength yourself. And where do we get that strength? We go to God through Christ, right? He can do all things through us. Let's take a look at another one. Number two, have a deep respect for your leader. You can't be an armor bearer without that. The story we just read, what did the armor bearer say? Basically, I'll follow you anywhere. I respect you. I know you're the man, right? I know you hear from God, which he had. So I'm following you anywhere we go. If we die, we die. You know, if I sit here, I could die. A mule could run me over, right? I'm going to go do what the Lord says. But we have to have respect for that person. You can't be an armor bearer without having respect for the person that you're bearing their armor. We have to take in consideration that God made us all different. Throughout this, I'm going to use the analogy that I'm called to be an armor bearer for Pastor John, right? If I didn't have respect for him, could I do the things that are required of an armor bearer? No. No. I have the utmost respect for Pastor John. But you know what? God made us all different. Many times I've said the story, when I first come to the church, the pastor at the time, which was Ed Mannering, said, well, you need to get in a home meeting. Okay. Which one? Oh, I know. I got the perfect foreign one for you. John Russell. Oh, okay. Great. Great. Go over there. First time I met him. Now, if you had Pastor John and I are nothing alike. Sorry. We're not. But you know what? Those differences help sometimes. Because I see sometimes the world in a different perspective than he does, and vice versa. But what the pastor was telling me through God was that I needed more to be more like Pastor John than Bob Cassidy. Not that there was no more Bob Cassidy, because he's the one that made me. But I was missing some attributes in my life that Pastor John had. Because I come back to him and I said, are you sure it was John Russell? And that's what I said to him. I said, he ain't nothing like me. And Pastor Ed said, I know. And that's when it dawned on me, you know. This man has a lot of attributes that I am missing in my life. At least half the time, the way your leader wants to do things is not always the way you want to do things. Right? Let's be honest. We don't always agree. But if the end result of what your leader wants you to do doesn't go against the Word of God and is the same as yours, but then don't worry about how you get there. It's the end goal that matters. Never once have I heard either one of our pastors ever espouse any end goal that I did not go 100% with. But sometimes I had a different idea. Eddie, also, we have some ideas. We have meetings. We're going to have one today after church, and we give our opinions. But whatever Pastor John comes up with, from that point on, that's our mindset, right, Eddie? Because we know the goal is right. We might have a different way of looking on. Maybe we should go over here instead of over here. But if you're going for the same goal, show the man the respect that God put him in that position. He knows things that's going on that even Eddie and I don't know about. That's where the respect comes in. That I know anything he does is the best for me and everyone in this congregation. Period. Third thing. Remember, these are all attributes that you need to be a good armor bearer, both men and women, right? We're talking about a spiritual thing here. Now, I'm not carrying Pastor John's helmet and sword, but in the spiritual we are. Eddie is doing the same thing. John Clinton, Kenny, right? That's part of being an elder in this church, is to help the pastors, make sure they're able to do what God has called them to do. Third, and this is very important, and this one scares me, must understand how your leader thinks. All right, I'm going to stay with Pastor John because I don't want you to think that I think like Pastor Don, okay? Did you hear that? I'm not saying that you have to think like either Pastor John or Pastor Don. I don't. But I must intuitively understand how they think to be able to help someone, to be able to help them. I can stand here and say I pretty well understand how Pastor John thinks. And really, Pastor Don, too. I would kid, of course, right now. It'd be the place to put in a joke. No one knows how Pastor John thinks. Pastor Don thinks, even himself. But I won't do that. But I do, honestly, can stay here and say that that happens quite often. Pastor John will call me, well, Bob, I think we... Well, I already did that. Because I know what he wants after, what, 30 years, Eddie? Close to it? We've been here. So we know Pastor John's thoughts and mindsets on a lot of things. It's always good to be able to do that, because you can be a better helper, because then you can always have things done or in the works even before he asks. Just like I said, that's a whole idea, right? Sometimes he doesn't have to ask. Eddie will have something set up. I'll have something set up. Kenny, John, right? Because we know basically how the pastor likes to do things, is what we're saying. With Pastor John, it's easy. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, right? And that's, and it's by the Holy Spirit that we're able to understand. I'm able to understand what Pastor John wants. After a period of time, your leader spirit will come on you, and you can see like-minded and all while you're working together. All right? We sat down, I think it was last Thursday, and did the next teaching for the men's class. We basically put the idea together on what we want. Pastor John says, here, Bob, run with it. Because he knows that I pretty well understand the direction that he wants to go in this meeting, right? It's his meeting ultimately. It's not my meeting. And he looks at it's a Holy Spirit and Christ meeting, right? So it's by the same way that I kind of intuitively understand how he would like to go with something. We just throw out broad ideas. I pray about them, hone them down into something a little more precise. And we talk about what person would do better at teaching something. Now, those guys that come to the men's meeting, a lot of times somebody will get up there and we think it's so funny. Wow, you know, of all teachings, this is something I'm going through now. Or I don't know, it must be by coincidence that I got this teaching that I can really use this. I think Cody said that a couple Tuesdays ago or something similar, didn't you? That I got this thing and, you know, it just happened to be the right thing at the right time, right? Don't you think that your pastor knows your life? And it's not just for you to teach others. It's for something that you need in your life as well. And knowing that intuitively, how Pastor John thinks, that he just doesn't want to throw somebody up there as entertainment. That's a good speaker. He wants that person to get something out of it too. Did you get something out of it, Cody? So to understand, to be a good armor bearer is to understand. You have to intuitively, through the Holy Spirit, understand how they do things, right? You're not second-guessing them. You're not taking over their authority, because just now before I come up here, I did the teaching. I handed it to Pastor John to look over and see if he agrees with it. If he does, he'll give it back to me. If he wants a change, I'll make the change, right? But I'm doing some work to take some burden off of him so he can do some other work, right? And that falls down the line, too. You used to see me up here when I first started over, and Pastor Don, maybe 5-6 years back, asked me to take this class over the Sunday morning. There was very few teachers. I think Debbie O'Rourke was teaching the class the first time. And when I took over, I was doing most of the teachings. We've got a list of it. I was up here about every week. But slowly but surely, I said, well, would you do it? Do you think you might be able to? Slowly, there's men that's helping me in this ministry now. It's come to a point that not very often am I up here, because I would rather see those. I can stand up here and teach. I love to do it, but I've done it. I want to see people raised up like a Cody back there, right? To be able to do that. To understand, to be a leader is to raise other people up, and we're going to get to that later. But that's part of knowing. And some of these guys, I just throw out a little thing. They'll tell you up here, well, I give Bob, just give me one sentence. But you know, everything has been perfect when they come with to me with a message, right? Because they understand the direction this church goes in, what our pastors want, what I want out of them, right? We have a mindset, and they understand that, and you're not going to get any better teachings anywhere than you get here, believe me. We have a great group of teachers, both men and women, We're talking over a dozen, which is unheard of. And here's one of them sneaking in now. Come on in. Oh, hang on a minute. Cody, give him the microphone, please. Teach you to sneak in up here.
Yeah, I know. This happens to me every time.
Would you close us, please?
Absolutely. You guys ready?
Thank you.
Okay, Father, we thank you for just bringing us here today for the word that was spoken. Now, I pray that you would just prepare our hearts for this worship. I pray that your spirit would be here. We invite you to come in this place, Lord God, right now, into our hearts, into this sanctuary downstairs, just into this worship. We've come here to worship you. We've come here to be to proclaim your name, to proclaim your greatness. We just ask you to be with us and help us to prepare our hearts to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.